Present are Senators Adams, Senator Green, and myself, Senator Rieger. The one bill before us is Senate Bill number 64. I believe that you have in your packets a sponsor statement. I don't have one in my packet.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just cover it into the record. Senate Bill 64 is intended to be a step towards privatization of the Alaska Railroad. It creates a capital structure for the Alaska Railroad Corporation in which ownership is represented by shares of stock. The stock can then be transferred to private ownership through sale. The state's ownership of the Alaska Railroad has created a difficult situation both for the state and for the management of the railroad. Business decisions made by the railroad in a competitive environment are criticized by other businesses as unfair competition, and the legislature is asked to intervene, in effect second-guessing the railroad's decisions. The railroad, for its part, is not developing its holdings to their fullest extent, for example, in the railroad's policy of not taking equity positions in non-transportation-related business. In effect, as long as the Alaska Railroad is in state ownership, it is subject to political concerns as well as business judgment. The result is a situation in which the Alaska Railroad is not maximizing its potential. SB 64 will not in itself privatize the railroad. However, the change in capital structure should greatly facilitate the transfer to private ownership. As the percentage of private ownership increases, the railroad will become more like a private business. Once a majority of the shares are in private hands, the transition to a business entity will essentially be complete. I see that we have two board members and legal counsel for the Alaska Railroad. Is that right? Would you, all three of you or any of you individually, care to testify on Senate Bill 64?
Sure.
And please state your name. Sure. And please state your name for the record.
And my name is Bob Hatfield. I'm President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
And a member of the board?
And a member of the board, that's correct.
I'm Lauren Lounsbury, Chairman of the Board of the Alaska Railroad.
You have the floor. We just read a sponsor statement. And
okay. If I may, we of course have had a short time given the impact of this bill to review it. There are some very appealing aspects to this bill, and it's at least my opinion as president of the railroad that the result that's being sought of this bill is largely a good one. We have a couple of concerns about it, and then we have we'd like to make some suggestions for what we think might improve the bill. One of the concerns that we have is the request in the or the mandate in the bill that the Alaska Railroad Corporation pay for an appraisal of the property prior to the creation of the stock and the transfer of the stock. When the railroad was purchased from the federal government in 1985, effective in 1985, both the federal government and the state government did their own independent appraisals of the railroad, and each one cost nearly $2 million. One was $1.7 million that we can identify, and the one that was done by the federal government, I believe, was slightly more than that. Those sorts of appraisals, financial appraisals of a property, have a very limited shelf life, and they're only good for about 90 days. So that money will be spent, and then in the event that if we're fortunate and a true and valid buyer comes along in that period shortly thereafter, then that assessment would still be valid. Subsequent to 90 days, it's not likely. It would certainly be a good work from which to build, but it will not be a valid assessment, and in order for financing for a buyer to be obtained, that would have to be redone. There's no polite way for me to say that the railroad doesn't have $1.7 million to put into this sort of a purpose, even if it did have a longer shelf life and even if it would be a valid appraisal. So we would ask, traditionally, the buyer of a property, when a business is sold, the buyer of the property pays for what's called due diligence, or the examination of the books and the appraisal of the property. The owner of the property, certainly there is an expense involved in making the doing the staff work to make the information available, et cetera, et cetera. But the buyer is the one who pays for the buyer's own investigation of the property. So if this portion were to be continued, we would ask that the state pay for the appraisal or the assessment of the railroad. From a practical standpoint, if we spend $1.7 million, which is one of the better numbers we've got on doing this, that's $1.7 million that we won't pay, that we won't apply towards rails, ties, ballast, or other things in our operation. Additionally, another question we had about the bill involved the board of directors, as it would be advised after or at the time that the stock transfer were to take place. We're concerned that qualifications for directors are not included in the bill, though it's unlikely any responsible person would do something that would have a negative impact. We can't be sure that the board, a new board, wouldn't be a terribly political animal. There's nothing to prevent the governor from putting people on the board who were politically astute but not necessarily blessed with a lot of business acumen. I will tell you that as the president of a company, the board of directors is very important to a company's president. The board of directors sets policy. The board of directors gives management guidance and direction, and you really want people with defined business skills giving that guidance and direction. We don't want to be spending money on things that are not really germane to the transportation business, which is our core business. So that would be something that we'd like to see. Our current board, it has a representative of our labor organizations codified as being on the board. I really like that, and I think the rest of the board really likes it, because it brings, it makes our represented people more partners in the organization, to the extent that management and labor ever are truly partners, but nevertheless, their input is very important, and those representatives that we've had, at least since I've been involved with the railroad, have been very productive, and I have to tell you, they ask very good questions in board meetings. As that would be something we'd want to see continued and hopefully codified in some way in a draft of the bill. The other, I believe that one of the results that's being looked for in this bill is to make the railroad a more independent entity, make it more of a private entity, and easier to sell. I'm not sure that having it in the exclusive hands of the executive department is something that that will solve that problem. There is nothing, for example, right now, legislation that's introduced very often has what we almost refer to as a template that says, and including the Alaska Railroad Corporation, and then we respond to that legislation as it's introduced. This would not change that, in our opinion. You could, I'm not a drafter of legislation, but there'd be nothing that would prevent somebody from saying, and corporations of which the state holds all the stock, or words to that effect. So we're still going to be perceived as fully owned by the state. We're still going to be perceived by many as competing in the state, competing in the private sector. We're still going to have all the baggage that state ownership brings along with it. One idea that we had that might further clarify the situation would be to do the stock transfer as is suggested in sections 1 and 2A of the current version of the bill, but change 2B, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I think, to call for the stock of the railroad to be put into a trust that would be managed by a financial institution that is qualified to do that. There is precedent for that. The company that I worked for almost 20 years prior to coming up here was held in trust by Morgan Stanley while the Interstate Commerce Commission adjudicated the merger between the Southern Pacific Transportation Company and the Santa Fe. That merger never went through, so the railroad was subsequently sold. But if that stock is held in a voting trust, that would further insulate the railroad from the notion of the state competing in the private sector, and it would create an environment that would make it easier to sell the railroad. One of the things that we feel is an impediment to selling the railroad, as I think many of you would like to see happen, is that there is no assurance on the part of a potential buyer that by the time the deal is done, it won't be so encumbered with restrictions that it would make it financially infeasible to do it. We discussed earlier that it would take about $1.7 million or so to do proper due diligence for a deal that hopefully would be, you know, as big as this one should be. Few are going to want to do that. Let's just, and I'm, if I may just use this as an example, let's just say that so that we don't get too carried away here, that the railroad was to be sold for $10, or at least a potential buyer thought that the railroad could be sold for $10, and so they review the books, do a cursory review of the operation, and say, yeah, $10 looks like it's in the neighborhood. We'll go ahead and do the due diligence. So they go and they spend the $1.7 million, and then they make a formal offer to the legislature, which is the way the current law reads, or at least it would come to the legislature, and there it is, there's a $10 deal. And now it starts to receive legislative review, and people justifiably address their concerns and hang on to the bill that calls for the sale of the railroad, a mandate that the railroad continue to operate the Hurricane Turn in perpetuity, and a mandate that the railroad can only lease its land under certain conditions. And this mandate and another mandate, and the next thing you know, the potential buyer looks at it and says, no way I'm going to do that. I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy it under those circumstances, and $1.7 million is down the drain. If the railroad were to be put into a voting trust, the all of the regulations involving the sale would be done. You will have already done your deal. It's in trust. There it is. A potential buyer can come along with the idea that they're buying stock that is being held by a qualified financial institution. They can do their due diligence, and they know in advance what it is they're going to be buying. They may do their due diligence and decide they don't want to buy it, but nevertheless, at least everything that's involved in the sale is there on the table at the time that a potential buyer comes along. I hope I haven't been too verbose here, but I think it really, and I'm not certain that that in and of itself is absolutely the right thing to do, but it's just another idea that we can bring to the table. If we understand the result that is being looked for correctly, which is to insulate us from the state competing in the private sector issue and bring about a sale, this is one way that I think can make it work. We've only had a few days with this, so that's all.
Did I answer questions?
Mr. Lasby, anything to add in the...
I really don't, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
For the record, we've been joined by Senator Taylor, Representative James, and in the audience, Representative Davis. Questions? Senator Adams.
What present contracts do you have presently with private industry regarding the Alaska Railroad?
We've got literally hundreds of contracts, but
especially
the key ones.
The key ones.
The
I
key
want
ones.
The ones with
and this is important. Thank you.
Developments in Anchorage or anything in Fairbanks. The key ones. Is that
right?
What I mean.
And that's a good point. And I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the concerns, of course, in the sale of the railroad would be, well, whoever buys it will just scrap the railroad and then just have it as a real estate deal. We have a long-term contract with Mid-America Pipeline Company, or MAPCO. for hauling their refined petroleum products that will be in effect for, I believe, another 18 years. And that contract is evergreen and transfers with the corporation. We have another long-term contract with the cruise line that extends almost as far. We have...
Explain what that's for.
Well, that's for the transport of their rail cars on the passenger train between Anchorage and Fairbanks. So that suggests that there will be passenger service between Anchorage and Fairbanks for an extended period of time.
How many years was that?
I did 15. We have contracts with coal companies to and the military to haul coal. We have contracts with the well-known oil companies in Alaska to haul their pipe or their oil field chemicals. We've got literally hundreds of contracts, Senator, that involve transportation. Most of them are 3 years or under. The two that I mentioned that are extended contracts are quite unusual. But nevertheless, they mandate that we're in the transportation business for at least another 18 years. Between Anchorage and Fairbanks.
How about the hotel? Do you have one with a developer downtown in Sheep Creek regarding Cotton Tree Inn or a hotel?
The Comfort Inn. Is a 105-room, fairly modest hotel property in which we have a 40% interest. That is a joint venture or a partnership rather than a contract. And that is to have and to hold until the partnership. I mean, it's just something we hold. It's just part of us. It's something we own. Would transfer with the railroad.
One more question. You mentioned that the state of Alaska would have to pay the 1.7 appraisal cost. That sounds to me that the Alaska Railroad is financially strapped. Will the Alaska Railroad either be coming to the legislature looking for capital or operating funds?
Yes.
How much?
Well, what we are going to ask the legislature for, we believe, is the use or the reallocation of a what was originally a $9 million equipment grant, which was used in 1990, was to be used to buy locomotives and rail cars in support of a proposed mining operation, coal mining operation, between Sutton, Alaska, transport the coal between Sutton and Seward for export to Japan. For a variety of reasons involving the Mental Health Lands Trust and market conditions, Idemitsu decided not to go forward with their mining operation. And that then has left that money available for reallocation. The reason that that money had to be allocated in 1990 is because the Alaska Railroad was already subsidizing the export coal operation between Healy and Seward, which was then exported to Korea. The railroad has lost a substantial amount of money over fully allocated costs in the transport of that coal, which has resulted in us not doing as much maintenance as we'd like to do on the track. What we'd like to do is reallocate that capital money from equipment to capital in the form of ties. We can install about 150,000 cross ties and about 60,000 cubic yards of ballast if we were able to take that money and use it for that purpose. And that is a... The number of cross ties that we mentioned and the subsequent ballast that's needed to rebuild the track after you reinstall the track, the ties, represents fairly the amount of wear and tear that that coal operation has brought to the railroad over the last decade. So that is the request that we ask. Now, you said we're financially strapped.
If I may interrupt just a minute for Senator Adams, we have not we are not now or have in the past or anticipate in the future asking the legislature for operating capital. That we have no problem with. But we are asking the reappropriation of this $9 million for the purposes that Mr. Hadfield has indicated.
The core question that you, and incidentally, in the decade that the state has owned the railroad itself has put something in the neighborhood of $120 million into the property, which it got through its own, the generation of its own revenues. As much money as that is, that still is, railroads are very capital intensive beasts, and that's, we're not generating enough revenue to allow us the sort of capital program that we'd like to have.
Let me answer the question on the 1.7, maybe a little more clarification on this appraisal. As Bob indicated, the cost of an appraisal based on what the state spent in 1984 is somewhere probably in today's dollars closer to $2 million. We think that it's unrealistic for either the railroad or the state to put that kind of money up front in an appraisal which has a shelf life of maybe 90 days. And we think it's far more appropriate, rather than the state or the railroad spending that money, at such time as a qualified, legitimate buyer comes forward. That is the normal process, is for the buyer to spend his own money on due diligence to determine what it is exactly he's buying. And that is the normal business practice, and we just don't think it's especially in today's light, appropriate for either the railroad or the state, for that matter, to be putting that kind of money ahead. Yes. We'd much rather, we, in all honesty and sincerity, don't have $1.7 million or $2 million available to do that sort of thing. And if we had to come up with the money to do it, of course, it would then take away from our capital budgets that we need for our ongoing capital projects, which is basically ties, rails, and ballast.
Senator, are you through, Senator? Senator Taylor? Taylor?
For now.
Who do we contemplate selling this to?
I have no idea.
A qualified buyer.
A qualified buyer, yeah.
In any amount.
That, of course, is what's determined with a due diligence. We keep our books, our records, our inventory in such a shape that a buyer, a qualified buyer, or an interested buyer could come in and go through and see what's available, what we have, and what the inventory is, and judge for himself on the value of those assets and make an offer subject to due diligence, which he would pay for himself. That would set the purchase price. He would make an offer. The legislature would have, if it stays in this form, the legislature or the governor then would be the appropriate party to determine yes or no, that's an appropriate sum for this asset.
Well, as you know, Lauren, I've been trying to sell this railroad from the day I
know you are.
But my concerns are the manner in which it is sold. I can easily envisage a lot of different devices and artifices that could be employed so as to make certain that nine of the governor's pals did a real good job of selling a railroad to me that I then helped them turn around and liquidate.
Mm-hmm. That's why we think the trust.
That's why we think
setting up a trust is a way to avoid that, prevent that from happening.
I understand that aspect of it, and I support that too. And I've talked with Senator Rieger about that, and I support the legislation. I just want to be assured that we're going to have sufficient bells and whistles on this thing, so that we're not going to wake up 5 years from now to find out that Alaska got scammed, we lost whatever transportation system we had, and we made a bunch of outside investors very wealthy as they mm-hmm. sold our railroad back to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, believe us, Senator, we concur wholeheartedly with that, and we're more than willing, to the extent we have the expertise, to sit down with this committee and go through and try to identify all of those risks and those pitfalls. As Bob said, we got this, I think, Monday. So we've had a very short period of time to do a thorough analysis. But as we indicated to Senator Rieger yesterday, we are certainly make ourselves available and the expertise we have to craft what we hope will be a bill that that everyone can feel comfort with and prevent the things that, that you're concerned about, and believe me, we're equally as concerned about.
Thank you very much.
I've got some questions, but I defer to other members. Senator Green?
The only thing I have is you're talking about an appraisal or anything. And I understand then that anything past a 90-day, past an appraisal, is no good.
That's normal, okay. If I'm Mr. Chairman. That's I can't say that with that it's actual fact. What I'm saying, normally an appraisal is only good for a relatively short period of time. And the reason for that is pretty odd. For instance, an example for the railroad we've used before, and it's Bob, but I'll steal it. If, for instance, our major customer, which is MAPCO, had a fire at their refinery and shut down their operations so we couldn't haul fuel product from Fairbanks to Anchorage, that would make a significant difference in the value of the railroad to a potential buyer, depending on how long that was going to be down and what it meant to the revenues of the railroad. And we are totally dependent upon that cash flow that we receive from those contracts.
So you're not saying that your real estate and all the facilities you own and run and all that you couldn't put a figure on today?
We can do that, I alluded
that's
to that earlier.
We
have an inventory of our equipment. We have a book value. We have our real estate that is leased, and that's done by the statute, which puts a value, and we get a percentage per year of that appraised value. We have that information. So we can put a ballpark figure, but that's subject to what is called due diligence and a true third-party audit. And that's very expensive for a property like ours. And we're saying we shouldn't be spending that money at this time. Let's wait till we have a legitimate offer for the track or for the railroad, if and when that happens, and let them pay for it, which is the normal business practice.
We did just one simple appraisal last year for real estate. Well, actually, the better way to put it is we do a dozen or so leases each year on parcels of ground, and we will spend usually about $200,000 a year doing those simple appraisals. So it's a very expensive thing to get done because of the legal ramifications. That once an appraiser puts something down on paper, then that is something the appraiser has to live with, and they're legally responsible for their opinion. So it's you pay for it. You get what you pay for, but I mean, it nevertheless, it's expensive.
I have one other question, please, sure. Mr. Chairman. Okay, in your the subsidy of the coal transport from Healy to Seward, is there a dollar figure on what that subsidy cost you?
It's in the neighborhood of $20 million over 10 years. We've fully allocated. We've lost in some years. It depends. Everything we do depends on volume. Some years when the volume was high and we only lost a half a million. Some years when the volume was less, we lost as much as $3 million.
And what would that figure include? What were what would be the range of things that would cover that $20 million?
Well, the rate should cover the wages of the crew members, the wear and tear on the track, the wear and tear on the equipment, the wages of the
G&A, general and administrative costs.
Well, yeah, the repairs, though. I mean, the mechanics for the freight cars and the locomotives, fuel, and then once all of that is taken care of, then those who administer it, that would be the salespeople who are involved in negotiating the contract and down to the light bill and everything else. Everything we do should contribute, should make a contribution to overhead. If it doesn't make a contribution to overhead, then you ain't gonna make any money at it.
I'm just curious, how does that number in very rough percentages compared to the tariff? I mean, is that like 10% of the revenues that you've realized, or 1% or 50%?
Let me think for just a minute, if I may. It's probably closer to 15%, okay. But I'd like to do some more work on that to be more precise.
Just ballpark. I've heard on the major contracts about it, or at least I believe it's true that there was a contract with the Bard service coming up from.
I didn't mention that.
Yeah, but is that one? Is that a contract?
Yes, that is a contract, but it's not at this point. It has a it has 3 years remaining in its current form.
Okay. And back to the one when you mentioned MAPCO, you mentioned the word evergreen, which to me has a particular connotation. Is that an evergreen contract, or is that something that has a fixed duration and then expires?
It's for 18. It has a fixed duration of 18 years. What I meant to convey by saying evergreen is that if the ownership of the corporation changes, it does not have to be renegotiated, and it does not have to be reformulated. It remains in effect regardless of other outside activities.
So is both of your opinion, or actually I heard Mr. Lounsbury say this, I'm not sure if he did, but in order for financing to be obtained, an appraisal would have to be done, was a comment at one point, but actually for the purposes of converting to a stock ownership corporation per se, you both agree that's something that just doesn't have to be in the...
No, you don't need an appraisal for that.
Yeah, okay. So... I guess the biggest question, I like your suggestion about some qualifications for the board. I'd appreciate if you have suggestions.
I'd be happy to supply that to you, Mr. Chairman, what we think would be reasonable qualifications.
And as I understand your description of the trust idea, if we were to employ that, well, this would mean that the legislature, or this bill, or the whatever bill it is, this is our last shot. In other words, we prescribe all the terms of the deal, and then the bill becomes the directions of the trustee, and then...
That would be my understanding, Mr. Chairman, yes.
But you could, if you wanted to, I imagine, have a trust for 5 years' duration, and then it kind of reverts, you have another look because it's not working or something. I suppose you can do anything you want with
it. Sure, you can do
it. Whatever the... It's a lot like you're the executor of... The trustee is a lot like the executor of a state. You're empowered to carry out the instructions that the trust is endowed with. And that's what you do.
And you can put a life on it. You can make it irrevocable, or it's good for 5 years or 10 years or whatever you want to do. But you do that up front, because once you put it in there, that's it. You can't go back and change it.
Okay. Senator Tanner?
Oh, yeah, I only had one comment. It wasn't really a question. That is, I know that MAPCO has probably some semblance of security about you people and their 18-year contract, and you have some security with them on an 18-year contract. I can only tell you that having a 50-year contract with the federal government isn't worth the paper it's written on. Our people are going to be trying to figure out how to pay off bonds for schools and pay off mortgages on houses, and we all relied on a federal government that had a 50-year contract with less than 15 years to go. And they just terminated us. So
yeah.
You could get terminated tomorrow, too. So I only mention that because relying upon them to be there ain't necessarily so.
We realize that, and, of course, most, if not all, contracts have force majeure clauses in them, and if the refinery should have a catastrophic event, that's that. That's
and vice versa. Ain't no guarantees. You do the best you can, and this is the best we could with on those contracts.
Last question I have: do you think I understand that last year you're going to report an operating loss? I believe that's true.
That's true.
But even with that, and taking the assets that the railroad has, real estate or equipment or whatever, do you think that the railroad today has positive value?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a real jewel, and I think it carries with it tremendous potential. It's woefully undercapitalized, but it has tremendous potential, and I think it would be an asset for whoever owned it. There's much yet to do, many more opportunities if available to it. From in a variety of different ways, if you know, the allowed to go forward.
Any other questions by committee members? Now, I think what I would like to request of the railroad is your suggestions on the board qualifications, your suggestions on the trust. I'm interested in the concept. I don't know how it will fly, but it is intriguing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see how. Maybe a written set of recommendations on that, and we'll bring this bill back, and I'd like to see it move. Senator Adams?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, for you, as I do, I am working on a proposed amendment, and it goes beyond a successor corporation as this particular bill. It doesn't go far enough. What this bill does not is for us as legislature to offer the Alaska Railroad for sale. And what we are doing with this, it reminds me of us setting up another corporation like CFAP and not having no control over it. And so what I would like to do is allow some teeth into this legislation, allow us to actively sell this to perhaps Burlington Northern or Amtrak Railroad. And we're going to debate tomorrow on a Senate floor the long-range planning bill, and I think what we as legislators need to do is get rid of assets that has nothing to do with government. And so you've always heard my speech on a floor with different assets that we need to get rid of. So I want you to know I'm working on a amendment for this bill to give it some teeth, and so if you'll allow us to hold it, and when would you like to bring this bill up so I can prepare my amendment on this one?
I don't have a specific plan, but my guess is that we wouldn't bring it back for probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
Give the railroad a chance to develop some recommendations and also have a CS drafted so that the committee can see what those would look like in bill form.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I share the same concerns. I guess I don't know quite how to phrase mine. My concern is one of making certain that we either make a very clean break, or that if there is going to be an ongoing relationship, that relationship is flexible enough so as to provide for input and evolution and change as that goes on from the legislature too. And if there's going to be some ongoing involvement, I think that legislative oversight needs to be part of that trust somehow. If in fact we're not, and we're going to make a clean sweep of it over a defined period of time, maybe it takes 10 years to sell all the stock or whatever, let it become a publicly held corporation of its own. I don't care, you know. But if that's the case, I want there to be an opportunity for those who follow us to have an opportunity to step back in if they feel they need to for some reason.
My concern has been that the biggest concern I've had, other than the fact that we're owning something that doesn't have a lot to do with state government, is that when the railroad takes an action, the competitive industry out there comes to the legislature asking for us to second guess them. And we spend a lot of time acting like a second board of directors. And I started in the same position you were in, trying to figure out what do we do to balance keeping control until we don't own it with trying to prevent us from being continually presented with proposals to tinker with the management of the railroad.
Yeah, right.
And it's a balancing act, and I'm the reason I'm intrigued with this trust proposal that, that the railroad has presented is that it might be a way to help us set up just what the situation we want. I don't know what that would look like, but one that that allows it to be run in a business-like fashion and still give us some kind of control that that's appropriate until it's privatized. And the only reason not to, to say go sell it today is that maybe it would be a distress sale and we wouldn't get the right value.
That's
exactly very important.
True. Very important.
A forced sale is an auction.
But and perhaps a loss today is a profit tomorrow.
All your tax losses.
It all depends on who's buying.
I know. Okay. Anything else? Not. We'll bring this bill back. And Senate Transportation's adjourned.
Thank you.